title of that? My Lord and I, but what's the title? His sheep am I. Oh, close. Who got it right, though? I didn't get it right. All right. Brother Bob, you were raised Mormon. You never heard that song before. Don't you tell me. It'd be, if it's Mormon, it'd be my wives and I. All right. Let's find out. Anyone finished the book yet? You've had it a week. Did you really, Charlene? I was going to say, whoever read the whole thing this week, I'll give you another copy after tonight. Now, that's not going to help you. We'll figure something out, or something of equal value, another book or something. But congratulations. Congratulations. Let's give her a hand, would you? Finish the book. Good, 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 good. How many of you at least read the title? I mean, you did read the cover. A few of you got to that. All right, good. Good. And then you set it down. I know. That's great. Was it good, Charlene? Did you like it? What did you like the best? No, it's not me. Good for you. That is wonderful. And Sandra? Wonderful. Sandra, you're buying your friend one too, right? Okay. And how many friends do you have? One. You only have one friend? Well, maybe you can buy one for Sandra, huh? That's so funny. That's so funny. Well, good for you. Good for you. I told Mike Johnson, you know, he said, am I in it? You know, and it's only people who've passed away. And I said, no, but I can't wait to put you in it. That's what I told him. That's what I told him. So if you have your Bibles, let's open them just for a moment to Luke 19. Luke 19. Tonight will be a message on soul winning. Not really the how-to, but more of a philosophy. Luke 19. A lot of the kids were off at camp a week or two ago. We went through the demonstration and all of that. We're not going to repeat that. But Luke chapter 19, let's look down, if you will, please, in verse number 10. And many of you, I would say probably out of the group here tonight, probably with no exception, probably everyone in this room has either led someone to Christ or invited someone to church and they got saved, or give them a track and they got saved, probably just about everyone, except maybe some of the real small children. And so you already have a heart for what we're talking about. Amen. So maybe you'll pick up just one tip that'll help you see the picture a little clearer. And so that's all I'm hoping for tonight. Maybe just a tip, and you say, that kind of filled in a blank. I sent the Jose cartoon to someone out of States about 2 months ago, and they said, my son watched it, and it filled in all the blanks for him. And so maybe the Bible study tonight, it'll just fill in some blanks. So here we are, Luke chapter 19, and looking down at verse number 10. This is the entire purpose for which Jesus came. Look at this, 19:10. For the Son of Man, and it's in red, we know he's speaking. Jesus is saying this, for the Son of Man, that's what he called himself, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, we can only do one of those. We can seek, but we can't save. Amen. And that's up to the Lord right there. But we can seek. And he said, so that's why he came. Welcome back, Brother Alvarez, from COVID. Welcome back. And Brother Chris, too. Brother DeBritz. I'm so glad you guys are feeling better. And the campuses, too. Is it a secret? We're not even supposed to say it. Y'all have had... Excuse me. Welcome from not being on the prayer sheet anymore. How about let's move on. I've already broken the policy. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so what a concept there. Our part is seek. God's part is save. But the people have got to know that they're lost. You ask the average person, are you going to hell? No. They're not lost. Most people do not believe they're lost. I was talking to someone recently, and they said, yeah, I'm a good person. You know, I haven't done any real bad sin. Now, I lived a wild life, but I've not done anything real bad. No, I've never sinned. It's hard for them to admit. And so God wants to use us just to show them how lost they are. And so we're going to finish this. We've already prayed. If you want to fill out some of the blanks, what is a soul winner? A soul winner is one beggar telling another beggar where to find some bread. And that's all we are. We're the beggars that were hungry. We found the bread of life. We're just telling someone the good news. Guess what? I was fed right over here by Jesus Christ. Let me tell you all about it. We're just telling one beggar, telling another beggar where to find bread. George Truett, famous preacher, said this, bringing one soul to Christ is the highest accomplishment possible to human life. It is the highest thing you could ever accomplish, greater than scoring 3,000 points in a lifetime in the NBA or wearing a Super Bowl ring or winning an MMA championship. The greatest thing is to bring a soul to Christ, because that's the only thing that'll last forever. Up in heaven, I'm not against Super Bowl rings. I've got one. You say, no, you're lying. I said, no, I've got one. When I had my knee surgery, my wife felt real bad for me. She went online, distant country, found me an NFL, New Orleans Saints, authentic, look-alike, Super Bowl ring, $19. I wear it on the plane. I had someone say, were you like a scout? I said, come on, scouts don't get a Super Bowl ring. And I said, no, it's fake. So he says, come to seek and to save that which was lost. Then our part, here it is, little review, go. This is part of the Great Commission. That's just our part. That's the most important part, go. You'll never win someone if you don't go. Now, you may be out and about. There's two ways to soul win. One is to schedule it, and it's house to house or neighborhood to neighborhood, and you're aggressively, that's all you're doing. The other is go into all your world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is your world? As you're going to the Echo Thrift, as you're going to the Baptist store, 99-cent store. I think the Alvarez's own stock in it now because it's close to their house. But going in that store and you're meeting people and you're impressing to speak to people and someone speaks back to you and you're getting a conversation. Ms. Mearns was telling me she's led several people to Christ in Walmart on the cat aisle. Brother Johnson would be so ashamed of her on the cat aisle. And so that's what we're saying. As you're going about your normal business, you're jogging around the neighborhood. You're riding your bike around the neighborhood. You're waiting. I was in my driveway, and a guy had two dogs, one big black one, one small black one. And I said, hey, where you live? And we talked 15 minutes. He told me his life story, told me about this, told me what church he went to. Didn't want to hear the gospel then, but broke the ice. Where you live? Right over there. Oh, you're the path. Got to give him a card. And so that's what we're saying. A lot of times, your incidental soul winning, you'll have more results than the scheduled door-to-door 2 hours here. And so our part is just go. You'll never win someone if you don't get out of the house. Amen. Go. Amen. The Holy Spirit's part, convict. Now, I used to help him do that when I was younger. Yeah, yeah. I still remember witnessing. And then I just kind of touched the cigarettes in their pocket. So what are we going to do with these? What are we going to do with these? You just got saved. What are we going to do with these cigarettes now? And I'd watch them throw them in the garbage. And I'm sure they probably bought another pack the next day. I still remember going to the refrigerator and opening the door. I don't know where I got this idea. Just open the, hey, what is all this? And it'd be maybe a six-pack of beer. What are we going to do about this? Well, probably ought to get rid of it. Yeah, I'll help you. And I've actually opened them up and poured them down the drain. And I'm sure they bought another six-pack probably the next day. So God doesn't want us to do the convicting. Amen. You don't need to do that. Our part go, his part convict, the sinner's part receive. You cannot make anybody get saved. Amen. You can be as suave as you can. You can have a great sales approach. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts them and draws them. He's the one that says you're lost. He's the one that says, yes, it's true. He's the one that says you need to get saved. Now, it's him. It's always him. Amen. Two prerequisites. Two things have to be present for anyone to ever get saved. One, the Word of God in some form. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean you cannot win someone to Christ if you forgot your Bible. No, but the Word of God has to be quoted or explained, or paraphrased, or in written form, or recorded or heard, no one gets saved apart from the Word of God. Amen. You might say, well, no one. No one in this room has been saved that didn't hear the Word of God, the Romans Road, or those truths either explained, paraphrased, read, taught somehow. Word of God. Second, the Holy Spirit. And again, He's the one that when we hear the Word of God, He says, that's true. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. You need to get saved now. That's Him that's drawing. Anytime you witness to someone and there's no urgency to be saved, then the Holy Spirit is not working in their life. Who's ever maybe said this? Man, I explained the gospel, but they just wouldn't pray. You ever been there? Some of you. I'll tell you why they didn't. They weren't being drawn yet. The moment a person realizes, I'm going to burn in hell, I'm lost, they are very quick to get saved. I've never known people who knew they were lost for very long. The moment it hits them, it's not long before they receive Christ. So those two have to be present. Now, take your Bibles just for a moment. Let's look over to 2 Corinthians, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So what changes when someone gets saved? 2 Corinthians 5. Who's ever maybe heard someone say this? Boy, when he got saved, he really got saved. You ever heard us say that? And, what a change. And we have that little Sunday school song, there's been a great change since I've been born again. There's been a great change. Now, help me here. So, a five-year-old that accepts Christ, does he change? A 50-year-old, is there a change? So what changes when someone gets saved? Their personality? All of a sudden they were shy. Now they're outgoing. No, that's not it. Oh, just the look on their face. Some people, the look on their face doesn't even change. So what changes? Notice what he says. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's a New Testament term. In Christ means saved. We're in Christ. We're in His hand. We're in Him. Look at this. He is a new creature. What happened? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things. So what really changes? I'll just say it. We're not going to act it out. Here's the statement. Their spirit becomes alive. Amen. Ephesians 2:1 is the reference if you want it. He said, we were dead in trespasses and sins, and we were quickened or made alive by His Spirit. So it's not personality. It's not debt. It's not joy necessarily. It's our spirit is now alive. The part that died when Adam and Eve sinned, and now that spirit inside of us has a desire to spend time with God, a desire to go to church. And that's why unsaved people don't want to come to church. There's nothing in them that wants to be here. Amen. Who's ever brought a visitor to our church and during the service is like, they're not liking this. Man, they are uncomfortable. You ever been there? I still remember a guy, I could name his name, and he came in, he had a long ponytail, he had a terrible cuss word on his car, a bumper sticker, and he said, man, I sat down in church, I heard someone say, amen, amen. He said, I couldn't wait to get out. I remember going by his house, and I remember going by another guy's house, he said, you know, we slipped in the back, we came on Sunday, but I felt so uncomfortable. I didn't feel comfortable and I didn't like your church. And I said, I know it's the demons inside of you. Right, and it just came out. I said, I could take you to the house. I still remember who it was. He goes, why you say that? I said, because you're on drugs, huh? Well. And he was the one that when I knocked on the door, had a partner with me. I knocked on the door and I could hear him arguing. And she said, don't let him in. It's religious people. He said, come on in. Because he was mad at her. Had nothing to do with us. He was just fighting with her and he wanted to make her mad. Whoever you are, you're a religion, come on in. And we sat at that table that night. He had just taken cocaine. He got saved. His wife got saved. Amen. Two of the kids got saved. Amen. Why am I telling this story? So the next week when he came, he said, you know, kind of like church now. See, something had happened. What happened? That spirit that was dead, those demons that were controlling part of his life that were saying, get out of here, this is wacko, He all of a sudden started feeling comfortable. How come? He had the same father as everyone in the room. Amen. He got born into God's family. So let's finish these up here quickly. So what changes? Here it is. And I'll just give you these three words. I don't want to read all the verses. But in Romans 1, 5, 1, it says we are justified. So that's a Bible word. It simply means that's the moment we got saved. We're justified. There's a famous song, I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus. I'm justified. Justified, if you break it apart, it just means just as if I'd never sinned. So being justified is better than being forgiven. Forgiven, you've sinned and God wipes it away. Justified is God says, it's just like you never ever sinned in the first place. That's how forgiven we are. So that's an act. It's a moment, takes place in a moment. We're justified. Then there's another word. Here's the references. You can see it later. But it's in Romans 15, 16. And it's also in 1 Corinthians 15 and so far. And it's the word sanctified. It says, and the Holy Spirit has sanctified us. And that word sanctified is a process. So justified, we get saved. If you've been saved, you got justified. Sanctified is a process. It means less and less like the world and more like Jesus. Guess how long that process takes? A lifetime. Hopefully, you're less like the world when you got saved and a little bit more like Christ. Hopefully, if you're saved 40, 50 years, you're a lot like Christ and very little like the world. It's a process. It's what we call Christian growth. And that's why we need to give everyone a lot of slack, especially new Christians and visitors that come. They may not be dressed Christian. They may not smell Christian. Their cars may not have Christian music when they pull out. They may not do, quote, Christian things, but why would they until they grow? Amen. And so we got to be patient with everyone. We forget how long it took us to grow the little bit we have grown. So there's justified, that's an act. Sanctified, it's a process. You say, how does God sanctify us? What does he use to make us less like the world, more like him? Here it is, trials. Trials. Second, the Word of God. You're sanctified by the Word of God. God's Word cleanses us, sets us apart, and prayer. Sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. Those three things are the biggest. Trials, Word of God, and prayer helps us to grow. And then last, and all of these are called salvation. It's a package. Then we're glorified. Glorified. And that's at the rapture. We'll hear a trumpet. You say, when do you know you're glorified? It's once you start hearing trumpets. Then you are. The last Trump. I don't know if it's President Trump or something. Anyway. But it'll be a trumpet sound, and immediately we're in our new body. So one is an act. It's in a moment. The other's a process. The last one's in an act. But here's what God calls it. It's all called salvation. Amen. It's the salvation package. So you got saved. You're being saved. When the trumpet sounds, your body is going to be saved too. Amen. So it's all together. So the little cocoon in Romans 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word is metamorphosis. You learn that in science class. It's when that ugly caterpillar attaches to a branch, starts spinning that raccoon. You know, you've seen raccoons. We have them in the gutter here. They're around the parking lot. Start spinning that raccoon. And pretty soon you can't see the worm. It's just all white. And then one day you see this beautiful monarch butterfly on the outside. Guess what that is? It's a picture of salvation. God looks at us and says, we're just an old ugly worm. No one wants to be around ugly worm. And then we attach to something that's alive, Jesus Christ. Amen. And at that point, he starts working on us. And a lot of times people don't see the inward work that he's doing. It's not all outward. Oh, he got a haircut. Oh, she's not wearing mini skirts. Oh, look at that. They smell nice. No. It's most of the work is inward. No one sees it. It's attitude and it's desires and it's priorities and it's love and forgiveness and God's working. And then one day we'll be perfect. We'll be just like him. And so be patient with people in the cocoon. Because we're all in the cocoon. Amen. right now. Well, my cocoon is farther along than your cocoon. Oh, brother. And so let's keep going. Bible names for soul winners. They're common. We won't refer to all of them, but one. Daniel says that, one says we're a fruit bearer. Jesus said in John 15:5, if we abide or spend time with him, we'll bear fruit. I've often said Bible plus prayer plus going equals souls saved. Amen. So we got several fruit trees in our backyard. Brother Alvarez has prayed over them, cast the demons out of them. And finally, they're bearing some fruit. But we don't hear them. We don't hear them. We can't hear them. It's just growing naturally. And that's how that is. Soul winning, it's just going to come natural. Well, I really got to work at it. No, it's going to come natural. When you are in love with the Lord, you can't help but talk about him. You just can't help that. Amen. Several other names we have. Fruit bearer, stars, where to shine, good works, watchman on the wall, and then last here, Matthew 4. Let's look at that just for a moment. Matthew 4. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples. I love this one because I love to fish. Matthew 4, 19. And he saith unto them, follow me. Matthew 4, 19. So that's the priority. We follow him. We do what he wants us to do. And here's what he says, I will make. So that's a process. It's a lifetime to become a great soul winner. I will make. Make us what? Fishers of men. He said, you know how to catch fish. Anybody can catch a fish. But I'm going to help you win heads of households. So you get whole families into the kingdom of heaven. He said, but you're going to have to follow me. Now, here's something interesting. Some fishermen, you know, you can send five guys to a lake. One guy comes back with a stringer of fish. The other guys don't catch anything. I'll tell you why. You got to catch fish on their terms. Well, I'm standing right here. If they don't come to me, serves them right. Well, you're going home with no fish. Because it may mean changing lures. It may mean deeper depth. It may mean coming back when it's not a full moon where they fed all night. It may mean going over in the brush, getting hip boots, getting a little bit deeper where they're spawning right there. You got to go where they are. You got to catch them on their terms. Now, I want to say this. Many people get saved during the transitions of life. That is usually when most fish get caught. You say, what do you mean? When someone moves, they're new in town. They don't know anybody. They're insecure. They don't know anybody. And there's a knock on the door. When they just get out of high school or college, it's, man, I might not know what I'm going to do yet. So they're a little bit more open. They just get married. They just have a child. Spoke to a couple this week and they said, hey, we got kids now. It's time to get to church. It's time to figure out about if we're going to heaven. They were open. How come? We got kids now. It's not just us. Amen. So transitions. Here's another. Death. Jail. I'm not going to say been to jail. Who has ever preached or had part of a religious or church service at a jail? Who's ever done that? I have. You know who's open? The people in the jail. Just don't say, we're glad you're here. Thanks for coming. Well, we're always here. We're faithful. And so, but something about it, for the most part, they're humbled. How did I get into this? I got this striped suit on. I got people telling me what to do. I am locked up. I'm so dangerous, I think they lock the door. That's humbling. And then someone comes in and says, want you to know, no matter what's going on in your life, God loves you. And he's got a plan for you, and he cares for you. He wants to take you to heaven. They're open. Sometimes during trials, marriage difficulties, difficulties in relationships, and we could go on and on. But transition, you know when you catch someone in transition, it's like they are so open. Why? They're going through some tough times. What else? Quickly here. Let's just give you the rest. How much time do I have, Brother Steve? I don't have my watch. And don't say go, go, go. Just
whatever you need.
No, tell me.
It's about 17 minutes.
Till what? Oh, okay. until what? Until 9. Okay, quickly, let me just give you the blanks here and then we're done. Let me just say that I was with Carl Hatz, the great soul winner, one time. He goes, watch this. Carl Hatz was just a nut. Watch this. And we're just like two people to the Lord. He's walking down the street. Someone says, where are you guys going? He said, we just went fishing. I mean, he's in a suit and I'm in a suit. You know, with tracks in our hands. We just went fishing. You did? Well, how'd it go? Caught two. Really? How big? One of them's 175 pounds. And one was about 98 pounds. You're kidding. Where'd you catch them? Over there in those apartments. To what? They got saved. So he'd always judge what the person weighed and said, that was the fish he caught. I thought that was kind of neat. Let me just give you these quickly here. Sometimes people will get saved one-on-one. If they have an education, a good education, or they have money, you're not going to win them in a group.
Amen.
That's not the people that hang around the park in a group of 10 and you're going to win all 10. No, they want one-on-one, and that may be a relative, maybe a neighbor. Why? They don't want to be embarrassed in a group.
Amen.
That's why we have one-on-one discipleship. People are not embarrassed to ask a question. And so if the person is dear to you, if they're educated or have money, you want to always get them alone.
Amen,
not in a group.
Amen.
Always alone. What else here? Some people get saved in church. Some people get saved and so forth. Jesus one-on-one with Nicodemus and King Agrippa one-on-one with the Apostle Paul, so forth. Jesus, the master soul winner. Look at this. He broke the ice differently. The same gospel, but he began the conversation differently. Zacchaeus, hey man, I'm going to your house. How do you know where I live? Well, follow me. Woman at the well, you thirsty? Different approach, same gospel. Nicodemus, you need to get born again. I never heard of this. It intrigued him. Thief on the cross, would you like to hear about paradise or heaven? I'm real interested right now. I'm dying. The blind man, would you like to have your sight? And so all these approaches Jesus did. Then quickly in Luke 15, I'm going to turn there for a moment if you want to see it. If you don't want to, it's fine. But Luke 15, that's the lost chapter. It lists three different items that get lost. It said a woman lost a coin, and she swept the house. It said till she found it. And then a shepherd lost one sheep, and he sought for him till he found it. And then there was a lost son, and the father waited till he found him and he came back. So three different types of lost people here. The coin was carelessly lost. Some people that are unsaved, they're careless. They just never paid attention. They just didn't hear it. They didn't listen. When others got saved, they didn't. They were not listening. Second, the sheep were ignorantly lost. Sheep are ignorant. And then the son was willfully lost. So here's all these lost, but here's the parallel here. It said, but they kept looking for them till they found them. And let me encourage you, when you go soul winning, put pressure on yourself. I'm going out till I find one. I'm looking for the one who's looking for me. There's someone on this street that's lost. There's someone God's been working on. There's someone that someone's been praying for. I just have to find them. And so that's what you're doing. You're not going soul winning. You're going soul anyway. You're just trying to find them. Okay, next. Witnessing without words. I'll just give you these here. And we are not evangelicals that believe in, well, we're just going to mow our neighbor's yard every week and let him see Jesus in us. That's not us. Nothing's wrong with mowing the neighbor's yard. But there's some people, all they do is good deeds, and they never open the Bible, they never get out of track, they never witness. So there's both there. So what are some things we can do where our lives are witnessing? One, our outward joy. Our neighbors, the people in the store, ought to see us smile. They ought to hear us whistle. They ought to see some glow about us, some joy. Second, our inward peace. And there's all the references, the peace of God that passeth understanding. There just ought to be something that's calm about us.
Amen.
As the world is upset about all the politics and all our stuff in our state and the... Did anyone beside me get the little catalog of everyone running for governor? Did y'all get that in the mail? Did you see some of the pictures? I mean, it's some guy looked like he's on Mr. Rogers or something. I mean, his glasses are backwards. And it said, and some of them said, no picture available. Yes, probably good. And one guy running, he graduated from high school. That's his qualification. That's all he had to say. And that's, you know, that's his word to the state. It was the most whacked out people in there. That's our state. So if you're not careful, you major on all that stuff and you're going to just walk into stores like you're having a nervous breakdown. You know, his name is Wonderful Prince of Peace. And they need to know that. So outward joy, inward peace, our singing, a new song in our heart. There's the scripture, our laughter. And there's the whole reference there. The old preacher, you heard the story. He had a radio program. It was called Coffee with the Parson. And he was known as a mean preacher, so he rented about 15 minutes radio time trying to have a better image in the community. And he would start the program off just slurping his coffee on the radio live. I mean, the first minute, he's slurping. That's good. Well, what do you think we ought to talk about today? I mean, it's the most corny thing. When we were in Bible college, they shut down the class. We had to listen to the broadcast. It was like, can't you come up with something better than this? I mean, it was terrible. And he'd chuckle. He'd tell some corny joke. He'd laugh at it himself. It was the most nothing show. Well, be good to everybody. Everybody's having a good day, a tough time. See you tomorrow. You know, he laughed. He was at a store one day, and he was talking, and someone walked around and said, are you the pastor with the radio program? He said, yes, I am. He said, you saved my life.
Amen.
He said, I had a gun ready to end my life. The radio was on, and I heard you slurp your coffee. And I said, who in the world is this? And I heard you laugh. And I said, well, I might as well put it down and listen to this guy. He said, and I started laughing. You were so corny. I started laughing and laughing. And he said, I put my gun up. True story. He said, I figured if there's really that much to laugh about, I really have a reason to live.
Amen.
And he said, you saved my life by his laughter.
Amen.
It's something about it. Something about it. And then quickly, our love. There's Galatians 5:16. There it is. Now here's the tips. We'll take 3 minutes. 3 minutes on this. Here it is. Mark 4, the Bible said, the seed that takes root, it says they must have understanding. The seed is the word of God. What can we do to be a better soul winner? One, read the scriptures slowly. You're not in a hurry.
Amen.
You're not in a race. You don't get commission. If I win 500 people today, I win a prize. Better to win one person.
Yes.
They understand the gospel. Take 15, 20 minutes, if that's what it takes, then rush through it. Number two, use your finger to point to the verse. You remember how they teach you in first grade to read? You'd always put your finger under the sentence and move it. That's what you do with the center. You're facing them with the Bible, and you're doing that so they're focused on the verse, so they're following along. Number three, repeat the verse twice. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What did you say? All have sinned. So you want to repeat it twice. Number four, look at their eyes to make sure there's a response. I've talked to people. I thought they were with me. I've gotten into the first verse, and they couldn't even concentrate on that verse. Their pupils were dilated. I don't know what that means. But, I mean, they were on something. And, you know, when every time you say, boy, that's a good verse, isn't it? Uh-huh. You know, when they're not there, you can't win them.
That's true, amen.
If their body's there, but their mind's not there, you may want to come back. And then number four, number five, if they won't admit they're lost, stop.
Amen.
If you cannot get them lost, just leave it there. It's no use to have a prayer. No use to get them to repeat anything. If they don't believe they're a sinner, don't believe they're lost. If they don't believe Jesus died for them, a prayer doesn't do anything. So our goal is to see them get lost, and then they'll want to get saved. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not a great soul winner. Should I witness? Oh, yeah. You can't send them to hell, number two.
Amen.
There is no hell number three. Anything you do is better than nothing. The house is on fire. You grab them by the hair, pull them out the door. You get them to jump in it. They have to get out of the house. So let's just be faithful. Do what you can. Do what you know. You're better trained than anyone in the Bible ever was. Woman at the well never had a wordless book. Paul never had the bridge illustration. None of the disciples had the soul winning cheat sheet. None of them had a cartoon. I mean, all they had was what happened to them. And so let's use it this week. I know you will. Father, bless our people. Help us to be aggressive, but tender, loving, sincere soul winners.